What's up, Stu?
What's up, Kevin? Oh. It has been a while since we have talked.
It has been. It's been months, and a lot has happened since in terms of life, career, but we're finally back making this podcast episode for you guys. And so today's topic, we are going to talk about stress. And
stress and overthinking.
Stress and overthinking. And we figured we start this conversation by maybe relating to you guys and talking about some of the stuff that causes us stress in life and kind of describe maybe what's stressing us out and how we deal with it. And maybe you guys would find it valuable. So maybe, I don't know, do you want to start it off, Stuart? You know, what typically causes you stress?
Well, I think it's everything and nothing, right? That's the weird thing about this idea of stress. If you feel like negative or down, it doesn't matter how the day works, you will always see the day in a negative light. Like, for example, today may be sunny, right? You might feel like, ah, dude, it's too bright, my eyes hurt, there's nothing to live for or whatnot. But for me personally, stress comes from very common areas that most people have, right? It's from the relationships you have with the people closest to you. It's from the work that you have to go to and face every single day. Mm-hmm. And it also, a lot of it has to do with just your own voice in your own head. You yourself, actually. I would say that third and last one is actually the real source of the stress. A lot of times we like to think that stress comes from an external factor. It's this thing outside that is happening towards me or happening against me that's creating this stressor. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my natural response. But really, it's how you choose to respond to what happens to you externally, mm-hmm, that dictates your level of stress, mm-hmm, is what I realized.
I see. I think for me, what causes me the most stress is primarily my standard in which I hold myself to, in the sense that I'll think I want to be at a certain place in life, but I'm not there yet. And this disparity between this vision of like what I think success is when it comes to, let's say, financial success, when it comes to you know, the relationships that I have in my life, and I think they're all great, but I think
fulfillment,
you know, and maybe it's an action of comparison. Maybe it's an action of, a fantasy that I create for myself that, hey, I want to do this and accomplish all of these things, but I compare that with where I'm at now. And I tend to, forget about enjoying the process, so to speak. And then whenever I'm in that mind state, I become the most stressed. I also am pretty self-conscious in the sense that maybe it's something I've been fighting with ever since I was a kid, but like it's the fear of judgment. I think that's one thing that for some reason I still struggle overcoming sometimes is wondering what other people think about me depending on what I do. And I think we all maybe have some form of that.
We all have it more or less. It's just how aware are we of it, and how severe is that to what kinds of things?
Correct. And so I think those are two things subconsciously that stress me out a lot of the times, and just being mindful of that. I think a lot of that kind of maybe plays into I'm kind of like an extra introvert. Like I can act like an extrovert, but I'm definitely introverted at heart in the sense that like, I really need to put on a face if I'm hanging out with like a group of people, and that tends to cause me stress. So that's kind of maybe the different areas that I can think of that really cause me stress, I think. And also just being overwhelmed with a lot of work, you know, with a short amount of time. And I think for anybody could cause stress, so to speak.
And you brought up a really great point. I heard something that you said just a little bit earlier about how I feel like I should be at this place financially. I should be at this place in terms of achievement, mm-hmm, you know? could you kind of dig in as to why you think you feel like you have those thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really like what I said earlier, I think the source of the stress a lot of times comes from your beliefs and your assumptions of what you ought to be, what you should be, versus where you are right now.
Yeah.
So where is that you feel like I ought to be this coming from? Could you kind of reflect on that or elaborate? Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with what I picked up through either social media or through watching TV. I think a culmination of people...
Just the exposure.
Correct. People who idolize certain kind of material success to equate to what success means as a whole. Because I think success is such a subjective word or... success means different things to different people, right? And I think largely in the 90s, it was very much portrayed and still is today that of materialism, having a car, having, you know, making millions of dollars. And I think nowadays you hear about kids who are 18, 19 years old who make millions of dollars a year. And I don't do that yet, right? And so it's kind of just like you compare yourself to these people who are smart. But I don't want to say it's a sickness, but it's like, oh, like I think I could do that too. Not to take it away from that. I'm sure these people are super talented. There's a bit of luck involved, but it's like you feel like you want to be like them or you should be like them to be able to reach whatever kind of financial wealth that they came across in life. And I think that's where I maybe have picked it up and I learned that. Maybe I haven't learned yet because I think it's a constant reminder. It's not, I don't think something that you switch, at least it hasn't yet been for me, but it's been a reminder that like everyone's kind of just on their own journey and you got to like respect that. And sometimes it's hard to respect that because like you're working blood, sweat, and tears every day hard and
nothing to show for,
but only when you stop to let go of that idea of showing for it. And I feel like that's kind of sometimes a battle of what I struggle with sometimes. And it's kind of just like, you know, what I find most joyful is when I can let go of that and just get lost in whatever it is that I'm working on. And that tends to happen where I feel less stressed and produce the best results, you know? But I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And like, do you feel like you struggle with the same thing or, you know?
100%.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
How do you deal with it?
I think we're all still figuring out.
Yeah.
You know, there's no right answer or wrong answer. But I had read an interesting book recently called The Myth of Stress. And I highly recommend it for anyone who's listening, who's going through a stressful situation or perceives that they're under a lot of stress. Written by Andrew Bernstein, that's the author of the book, The Myth of Stress. And one of the really eye-opening things that book pointed out to me in listening to it on the audiobook was that your thoughts actually, basically your personal thoughts are actually the main source of that. And so his method of not necessarily overcoming the stress, but actually just acknowledging that the stressor is there is the first step. A lot of times we just overlook it. We just assume stress is a natural reflex because of the saber-toothed tiger, you know, caveman theory that it's a survival mechanism that we have to help keep us alive. But in further uncovering, it's actually not a response. It's actually not the external stimulus that causes it. It's how you choose to respond to that external stimulus.
Mm.
So an example might be, I'm probably butchering this because I'm the worst paraphraser of books out there. Mm-hmm. But if you were to, let's say, there was a study or something where they had a, like, I don't know, I think a frog in like a hot body of water,
mm-hmm.
right? If they took the frog and they kept it in a cold environment, they immediately tossed the frog into a hot water. It would have freaked out and it would have just jumped right out.
Mm-hmm.
But they did this and they measured the stress levels, I guess, within the animal. I'm not even sure it was a frog or a mouse, but the point is there was some testing. And
yeah.
Sure enough, it showed a spike in the the hormones, that cortisol, that showcases stress.
Yeah.
But they did the same thing to the frog, but they did something, or the rat, they did something a little bit differently. They, instead of taking them from one temperature to another to extremely cold to an extremely hot temperature of water, they slowly increased the temperature of the water up until it got to the temperature, the hot temperature that was being used, the exact same temperature that was being used in the first one,
yeah.
the first test, the control
yeah.
test.
Yeah.
And they did not record the same levels of spike in stress, the stressor response.
Yeah.
So therein, although that one case isn't enough to prove the end-all be-all, but it shows, it does disprove the fact that you know, the same external thing happened in both circumstances.
Yeah.
But in the other one,
it gradually
notched up so that the notice was very, very barely noticeable.
I see.
And so it's not the circumstance that creates it.
Yeah.
It's that it's our incapability of handling that stress that creates that.
Over a period of time.
Right. I think a better analogy would be this. Most people exercise in their workout,
yeah.
right? If you ask an out-of-shape person
mm-hmm.
to go to the gym and expect them to run a mile at 40% incline
mm-hmm.
within 6 minutes,
mm.
how do you think they're going to feel about that?
Terrible.
They're going to
yeah.
feel stressed, right?
Yeah.
They're going to feel like shit because they feel like...
They'll probably injure themselves. Yeah.
But before they've even done it, what is the voice in their head? There's no way I can do that. There's no fucking way to do that. And then what does society do is you're fat, you're lazy, you're incompetent, you're not capable of doing this. And in that moment, it's that voice in your head that creates the stress.
Mm.
It's not the actual treadmill. I mean, it's physically painful and tiring.
That's what he talks about in the book?
Just a lot of examples.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the examples that I think that makes more sense. But if you took the person, right, and you were able to clear their head of feeling judged. Let's talk, because
yeah.
you're talking about that. The
yeah.
feeling of judgment.
Yeah.
Other people are going to judge me because I'm not adequate. I'm not enough.
Yeah.
I'm not competent. I'm not capable.
Yeah.
I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough.
Yeah.
Insert whatever it is you think I'm not blank enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you let them consistently work at it over the course of, let's say, 10 months, every single 5 days a week. Right?
Yeah.
But you don't ask them to run. You just ask them to walk at 2.0 speed on the treadmill, zero
yeah.
incline, right?
Yeah.
The chances of them feeling as stressed is going to be much lower, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then they will actually build up momentum. By the time they hit month 10, they would have accomplished the task that the first example, which is run uphill
mm-hmm.
incline at 40%.
Everything's timing.
Everything's timing.
Yeah.
And I think so. The common denominator is we think we should accomplish something
mm-hmm.
within such a short amount of time, and it's unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most powerful things that he introduced in that book, I think if you can only take one thing from this book, is what we call key insights. And key insights is kind of like a six-step process, but I'll break it down for what it is. The first step is you write down on a piece of paper exactly what it is that is stressing you out. Like, I should be more successful, right? Or I should be skinnier, right? I should look prettier. The thing that bothers you, stresses you out, right? Or I shouldn't be sad all the time. Some people get stressed about the fact that they shouldn't be sad all the time, right? Or like, I shouldn't be this way, or I should be this way. Whether you should or shouldn't doesn't matter. The point is you feel some sort of inadequacy. That's the first part,
mm-hmm.
is acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
Step two is actually rating on a scale of 1 through 10. How painful or true is this statement to you,
mm-hmm.
to your reality?
Mm-hmm.
10 being excruciating pain, excruciating stress, extremely true. 0 being couldn't be true.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel nothing about this. I don't feel any emotional attachment or pain or response to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so most people, depending on how severe it is, their numbers will be pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somewhere in the 7 to 10 range. You know, I don't know if for example, if we walk through your example, how badly would you feel
mm-hmm.
on like I should be at this place by now, like on a scale of 0 to 10, would you feel like
stress wise?
Yeah, for yourself.
Hmm.
Because this is a really good exercise that other people listening can walk through as well.
For me, I think it's a sliding scale.
It's a sliding scale.
Yeah, because
on a good day, what's that number?
On a good day, it's like, you know, a 1.
It's a 1.
But on a bad day, it can be up to, you know, a 7.
A 7. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty severe swing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like, there's going to be days where you feel like you're on track and
mm-hmm.
you're doing the right things. And there's going to be days where you're like, oh my God, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I think it's the nature of being in a more entrepreneurial-like career and job, and you just learn how to deal with uncertainty. And I think there's days for me personally that I deal with uncertainty a lot better than other days. And maybe it's just because I'm still young in the game, so to speak, but I think you learn to deal with that over a period of time of uncertainty. And I think that gets fostered over time. But I think now that would be the swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a really funny example in the book too that you just made me think of. It's like some days I felt like I've achieved things and other days I don't feel like I've achieved things.
Yeah.
On the days that you felt like you've achieved and the other days you don't, it fluctuates, right?
Right.
And so if we were to put a dollar sign, let's say we put a dollar sign on the amount of achievement,
yeah,
right, for that day. Let's just monetize today's achievement.
You know what's fun? Well, I guess for me, that's less so the money, but like what I got done that day.
Right.
Then money kind of becomes a byproduct, because sometimes the thing that I get done doesn't directly translate to money right away, but then maybe it will. Later.
Or
does that make sense?
Yeah. I was actually going to take it a different way.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't directly apply to your situation, but let's say if all of a sudden your bank account had a direct deposit of 500K,
yeah,
or like 5 mil, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Whatever, yeah.
Right? Arbitrary amount. Just a stupid sum of money, right? And you saw that,
mm-hmm,
right? But then the following day, that account, that deposit gets rescinded or whatever,
mm-hmm,
right? You'd be kind of like bummed, like, fuck.
Yeah.
That was right there in my account.
Yeah.
Why did it not process?
Yeah.
Right? You'd be pretty stressed.
Yeah.
But if the same thing happened the day before, you got a 5 mil direct deposit, right? But you never saw that notification.
Yeah.
And the following day, it got rescinded. So it was as if it never happened,
yeah,
right? Your response to that would be indifferent because
you never saw it.
Right. But in both situations, you began and ended with $0.
Yeah.
Nothing actually was different. But it was what happened to you, and like you were... Your stimulus, your response,
correct,
to the stimulus that caused it.
Correct. It's like a loss aversion, because it's much harder to lose something,
exactly,
than lose something that you never had.
And that is why a lot of times when you feel like you have something to lose, it's much more stressful.
Right? Yeah, it brings me to this quote, and maybe it's kind of somewhat related, but I feel like every time I remind myself of this quote, the sliding scale starts to go to a one, and the quote kind of goes like this. And I don't know who quoted this. Maybe I'm just making it up. But we enter this world with nothing and we leave
with
nothing. So everything that you attain in between is only temporary. Everything is in life is about the context and not the content. Because the content you do not own. But the only thing that you do is your context.
Right.
Yeah. And you can choose that. And so I think when I remind myself of that, it's like, well, what kind of context am I giving myself every day? What kind of attitude and framing am I seeing the world with, and the way that I do things on a daily basis that's going to actually be success rather than success materially? Because I think the context then leads to your actions, then leads to the results. But it starts from there,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And going back to this example that we're talking about,
mm-hmm,
sometimes it goes from 1 to 7, right?
Yeah.
The third step actually asks you to write down your emotions, like verbal words, like,
yeah,
you know, just specific one words.
Like angry, happy.
Right. You,
yeah,
can even write piece of shit or like what's wrong with you or like great, awesome,
yeah,
you know, jubilation, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of words come to your mind when it's like a 7?
Yeah.
Because really what we're helping people address is when they feel like they're at a 6, 7, 8, 9, or even a 10, you know. Like, what kind of emotions are stirring in your head? Like, if you had to describe the emotion in words, you can list as many as you want. That's the third step.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So recently I also took this inner engineering program. And it's by this like guru that I've talked to you guys about on here, on this podcast. And he kind of talks a little bit about the human mind. and stress. And he talks a lot about emotion, kind of relating to what you were saying. And he was saying that the mind, if we think about on the evolutionary scale, what makes us the most advanced mammals on this planet is our cerebral cortex, our ability to think logically and utilize our brains to create tools is what has made us advanced as human beings. And our ability to communicate in the way that we do and communicate abstract ideas, have imagination. Yet it's these things that also cause us the problems that we're talking about here, mm-hmm. which are the primary or which is essentially the source of a lot of our human problems, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he says, when we understand that it's not really a problem, the brain and the mind itself is not actually the problem, it's our inability to use it properly.
Or inability to accept it, yeah.
In the sense that we don't yet, we have never, quote unquote, read the user manual for the brain or the mind. And we don't know how to use this organ that's in our skulls to the fullest capacity, in the sense that we're using this mind as a tool to do and accomplish what we want in life. And so it's like this weird feeling of like separation between your mind and who you are. And that kind of, also reminding myself of that kind of helps me relieve stress, because it's like, oh, I detach myself. It's like, oh, Kevin's feeling stressed. How can I use my mind for me instead of against me? And when I start thinking, oh, well, how can I use my mind to reframe a specific situation, or use it to think or feel a certain way? It's not easy, I'll tell you that. But I think there.
But it's like a muscle.
It's like a muscle.
It is a muscle. People don't realize it's like a muscle that you can train.
It is.
Yeah.
Albeit I'm, you know, still training the muscle, but I think the concept in itself could be useful. Of detaching yourself of, oh, Kevin's feeling stressed, and observing it from a separate point of view, then kind of coming back with something that's conscious of, okay, I'm going to consciously use my mind for my benefit instead of against it. I'm going to consciously use my emotions for my benefit and not against myself. Yeah.
That's so funny, because that actually ties into the following step in the Andrew Bernstein's method, which is number four.
Yeah.
The fourth step is actually for you to write down the negation of your first statement from step one.
Huh.
So for example, if you say, I should or should not be this certain way,
mm-hmm.
for example, so we're using context, I should be successful and rich,
yeah.
right? That's what stresses a person out.
Mm-hmm.
Then in number four, you were right, in reality, I should not be successful and rich at this time. And his verbiage is very specific. It is very specific in that in the front, you must insert in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, you must insert at this time.
I see.
And then you're doing a negation, which is in line with what Sadhguru is kind of talking about.
Yeah.
Because when you say in reality,
yeah.
what that verbiage does in your head is it forces you to look at things objectively.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
And then at this time
means
is to give you perspective in terms of the timeline of things at this time.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing is permanent. Like you said,
mm-hmm.
in life, you begin with zero and you end with zero. And then in the middle, there's all these things that happen, which is
correct.
The context.
Yeah.
The context is at this time.
Correct.
Right. And that's when step four, like, gave me like goosebumps, because I was like, oh shit, this is the thinking framework that most people don't have, because they don't even know how to begin with step one, which is to just acknowledge the stressor that's there and then state the opposite statement. Now, the natural instinct of our minds is to self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
We will say, well, that's bull crap. Like the counter statement is not true, because I am stressed.
Yeah.
How could you say that I'm not stressed about this thing?
Yeah.
Right? But step five is what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what Sadhguru's inner engineering is. It's forcing you to use your brain in the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
If the first statement is true, right, from step one, are there any ways for you to also prove that step four could also be true?
Mm-hmm.
We're not disproving step one. We're acknowledging that it's there, But step four, which is the negation, which is in reality, I should not be successful or pretty or rich or have six-pack abs at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Step five forces you to say, why is step four accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Great examples could be, I don't put in the amount of work or nutrition or exercise that is required to have six-pack abs, right?
Well, there you have your solution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? But the important thing is not that to tell people, you need to work out, you need to eat healthier, you need to be more motivated to get six-pack. Everyone knows the answer.
Yeah.
The problem is this framework actually helps them realize, I don't deserve the things I want yet because I haven't done the things that will create the results that I want yet enough times, long enough.
Yeah.
Right? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah,
like,
it makes sense.
In reality, I shouldn't be successful at that because I am still young.
Mm-hmm.
I am still figuring myself out.
Mm-hmm.
And once I do, then I will. Right? Or I shouldn't be rich and successful at this time because I have not had the experience. I have not gone through enough life hardships. I do not have enough resources yet. Or I have not accumulated enough XYZ skill sets to get to where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that all is hopeless, all hope is lost.
Mm-hmm.
It just means at this time, I don't have it yet. But I can acquire it in order to get to where I want to be.
Correct. So I guess the only tricky part to that I would challenge on is, and I think the system is great, first and foremost, but I think one thing that I think people may struggle with, and maybe we can provide some framing around,
mm-hmm.
is the rationale as to why it's not now. Because that can be seen two ways, either as an excuse
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
as either as a way to motivate or bring clarity to why it isn't now.
I totally see where you're coming at. Because
right?
Some people will just use this as, well, yeah, now's not the time. Time will figure everything out. Time will solve it. Eventually, I'll get to where I want to be. And they don't really put in the work.
Correct.
Right. I think this is more so in a case where...
And at that point, I feel like... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
yeah.
It's like, at that point, you're kind of deciding what kind of person you want to be.
Exactly.
If you're going to do this exercise.
But that's also good. That's
yeah.
also a good thing. Because maybe you realize, fuck, I don't want to put in the work.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't want to put in the work. That's fine.
Yeah.
If you don't want to put in the work... There's nothing against you for that. Just don't complain
right.
when you can't hit topic number one, which is you want to be successful,
yeah.
right? No one says you have to work hard. The stress only comes when people don't want to work hard and they want to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you don't want to work hard and you don't want to be successful, well, guess what? There's no stress,
yeah.
right?
Correct.
You just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But the problem is like what you said. Most people want to be the success,
yeah.
but... They don't understand how much work it takes.
Yeah.
There is no secret course. There is no fucking masterclass. There is no fucking affiliate marketing program.
Yeah.
There is no fucking self-help book that alone will get you to where you want to be.
No, not
you
even
can
a
read
podcast.
You can read a gajillion self-help books, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't apply dog shit in any of the books you read, not even one concept, then you might as well just not have read the book at all.
That's correct.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's not saying this will fix all of your stresses, but this technique is good for helping you identify the objective truth about yourself.
Mm.
Whether it's the thing, if you're too harsh on yourself, what this method does is it helps you, hey, like lighten up, don't kill yourself, don't beat yourself over it. It doesn't serve you, right? But if you're too lax on yourself, this is also another way to call you out on your bullshit. So that's kind of the beauty of what I saw in this method is it works both ways.
I see.
Let's say the first method is I shouldn't be blah, blah, blah. Then your counter argument in step number four is I should be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the silver lining in all of this and what I'm taking away from this conversation is first A is being able to observe it, right? Whether that's in your own mind, writing it down, like the four-step process that you're talking about. And being able to understand that although you're being stressed about this now, you know, it's not always going to be that way. And you have the choice to do something about it. And I think the method you brought up is a great framework to break it down, to find solutions, right? And I think I think this is a great place to kind of end it. That's like,
yeah. I mean, it really just comes down to A, self-awareness.
Yeah.
B, you know, being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And then like C, deciding, do you want to do something about it?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do nothing about it and let it go?
Yeah.
Right. Or you can do the worst option, which is just do nothing about it and not let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's really where the source of stress comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you got a lot of value out of this podcast. We hope to do this a little bit more. I know we've been slacking on these episodes, but let us know what you think. Email will be in the show notes. You can tweet at us too. Everything will be in the show notes. And if you enjoy this episode, share it with a friend. Leave us a review. It's most greatly appreciated. And until next time, guys.